Rock Hill, good pharmacy. Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 60 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, today should be a program that everybody pays very, very close attention to. It's all about fentanyl, and normally there is no good news about fentanyl except for today. Because we have, we have one of the two Kevins here today. Sheriff Tolson had some things pop up and he couldn't get here, and I understand that. But his able-bodied, trusted partner, Kevin Brackett, is here, our 16th Circuit Solicitor. And thank you for getting here, buddy.
Absolutely. Kevin's partner in crime.
Yeah. So for those who are new to our area, who may be tuning in this programming wondering who the heck you are and what a solicitor is...
Mm-hmm.
Tell them, if you would, please.
Well, I'm not a salesperson, so the sign on the door that says no solicitors doesn't apply to me. I am the district attorney.
Ah.
If you're from up north somewhere and you've moved down here, you call it the DA up there. So I'm the prosecutor. I've been in the office since 91. I've been the solicitor since 06. I was the number two guy for a number of years before that, and...
Here you are.
No, I'm second in charge. Now I'm the DA.
So 17 years.
It's been a long time.
Woo!
It went by so fast, Manny.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And we could spend a whole program just talking about changes that have hit you and really the sheriff's office, the whole criminal court system.
Yeah.
Just because of our explosion in population. 17 years ago, we were nowhere near the county we are now.
No. Well, when I started out in 91, we had 135, I think. Somewhere 130, 135,000 people. Just unbelievable. I used to drive through Fort Mill, and it was all woods. Now,
yeah.
It's crazy.
If you haven't tried to go through Fort Mill,
yeah.
Be patient. Be patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're bumping about 300,000 people here now, which
right.
is crazy. So the biggest thing on your radar recently, you and your peers across the state and really across the country, has been this deadly fentanyl drug.
That's right.
And I will never forget this as long as I live. When you and Kevin Tolson and a number of other people had that press conference up at Tolson's office here 6 months ago, 8 months, a year ago, whenever it was.
It was last fall.
And you brought out that fentanyl, and you made sure everybody stayed away from it.
Yeah.
Everybody who handled it had gloves. That stuff was so sealed. I mean, it is that deadly.
Yes.
And you had a truckload of it there.
30 kilos.
Incredible.
Enough to kill just about everybody in the state.
Several times over, probably.
Yeah.
And this was a result of a major drug bust, series of busts that you had done.
Yes.
And it just showed me a couple things, how deadly this drug is, and number two, what prolific it is throughout your county.
Throughout your county, the South Carolina, the entire country. We're awash in it. I mean, it's flowing across the border faster than we can seize it. I mean, really, it's killing an unprecedented number of people. It was probably 5-6 years ago, I think the numbers were around 33,000 deaths per year, overdose deaths. Now we're at 110 last year. 110,000 people in the United States died in York County. And based on, you know, numbers that that Sabrina and Sabrina Gast, our coroner, does a great job trying to track that and make sure that we, you know, when she goes to a suspicious death and she suspects it might be that, she does a toxicological study to see, is this in fact fentanyl. Now I'd say we're having 110 per year, which is about one every 3 days, a little more than every 3 days, in York County. You can't walk down the street without bumping into somebody whose life has a friend, family member that's been affected by the opioid epidemic.
God. Well, the whole gist of that press conference was not only did we catch the bad guys and we got this big load, but it was all about we didn't have the laws in place in South Carolina to take these bad guys and treat them the way they should be treated.
That's right.
But it's a different story today.
Yes.
You all have mounted a huge effort over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And finally you got it.
Yeah.
We
made the arrests last fall, 30 kilos of fentanyl. And back then, under the law as it existed then, if you were caught with 30 kilos of fentanyl, you were facing 0 to 15 years with 25% parole eligibility. So even if you got the full 15 years as a sentence, you still were going to be eligible for parole in three and three quarters of years. Contrast that with the guy who's caught with an ounce of fentanyl or, 30 or 40 pills of fentanyl. He's facing the same 0 to 15. So the law didn't distinguish between the small dealers and the traffickers, which is what we call people who are dealing at quantity. And so that was a huge problem because we do need to differentiate between those types of folks. Now, under the new law, if you get caught with 30 kilos, you're looking at 25 to 40 years without parole.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Absolutely, because there needs to be this disincentive. People need to know that South Carolina is not a place to do that kind of business. We're open for every other kind of business. Happy if you want to come here and open a manufacturing plant or whatever. Love to see you. But if you want to come here and manufacture fentanyl or crank out pills or bring that kind of stuff into South Carolina, they need to know there are going to be consequences, and now they do.
So how tough is this law compared to other southern states you might be familiar with?
I think we're as strong or stronger than just about anybody else.
Really?
We are. Yeah, yeah. I could not ask for much more than that. It is a powerful tool in our toolbox to take out the people who are profiting off the misery of other people's addiction.
So I guess now it's a question of the bad guys learning that this, in fact, is there and is going to be used.
Yes.
And I guess that'll take a few arrests and a few convictions.
Actually, I'm told that, I talk to people all over, and I'm aware of things that are going on, and I'm aware of at least one investigation in which an individual from outside of South Carolina declined to come to South Carolina because they understand that there's a new law in town.
Well, isn't that good?
Yeah. So it's already had an effect. Yeah.
But this wasn't the slam dunk that you would have thought it would have been. In other words, if I remember that press conference correctly, you made a run at this a couple of years before, and for some reason it wasn't clicking in people's heads that this needed to go down, and I guess it all went back to this question of lawyer legislators that we have down there in Columbia.
Yeah,
represent these bad guys.
Yeah, there were a few of those that were representing some of the people we arrested, and I think there were three or four different defendants in that crowd that were represented by lawyer legislators. And I think I talked about this with my friend Kevin Tolson the last time we were on your show, that starting in about 2010, South Carolina took a different approach to criminal justice. They wanted to try to reduce the overcrowding in the Department of Corrections. They felt like the costs of incarcerating that many people were too great, and so they ended up passing a bunch of laws and sort of trying to send fewer people to prison. And the results were effective. I mean, we went from 24,000, nearly 25,000 in the Department of Corrections to around 15,000 now. So we have reduced the population, but the consequence of that is instead of being in prison, these folks are outside the walls of prison committing more crime. So I tell people, you're going to pay for prisons. You're going to pay for crime whether you pay for prisons or whether you pay when you come home from work and find your door kicked in and your stuff stolen. So
what turned the tide this time around to make this thing get through and get passed and become law?
Well, as the problem becomes more and more acute across the state and communities everywhere, people are starting to reach out and complain. And I think this time we had, I mean, a year ago, Manning, they were talking about reducing the criminal consequences for other types of drugs. They were talking about gutting our laws even more. And then a year later, all of a sudden, we have a powerful, strong fentanyl trafficking bill. So I think that it's the result of the citizenry speaking up and letting people know in the legislature that this is unacceptable. They don't want their children dying from overdoses and being poisoned by, you know, Mexican cartels anymore. They want South Carolina to stand up to it. So we had a large contingent of folks from York County, actually. Fentanyl can kill. A number of mothers went up and testified and spoke out and had pictures of their children who they've lost. Powerful, powerful testimony. And as a result, I think finally the folks in Columbia are starting to wake up. This is a real issue, and if we don't address it, they're going to put somebody in here in office who will.
I wonder some of those lawyer legislators who were not supportive of previous efforts to do this, whether they came around and voted for this or whether they were just overwhelmed by everybody else who jumped on board.
Some of them, I think, probably came along because they saw the writing on the wall that was going to pass anyway, and they didn't want to be on the wrong side of the vote, maybe. There were still some people who objected right up to the end. And, you know, that's fine. They answer to their constituents, and if that's what they want, that's fine. You know, I'll say this. We advocated for tough sentencing, and I want people who peddle this stuff and sell it in volume like this, I want them to feel the full force of the law. They should. And they should be disincented from selling. But that's an attack on along the supply side of the fentanyl problem. Right. I said this in the press conference on Tuesday with the governor in Columbia. We also need to attack this on the demand side. We need to put in place, because there's a lot of good people out there, good people who have kids and the kids themselves just got mixed up with drugs. I've always known that, you know, a lot of these folks who are using drugs, they're easy to demonize them and paint them with the same. But a lot of them could be very productive, capable citizens and could contribute to society. But they need help getting over their addiction. And if we just say, oh, we're going to throw them all in jail, that is more expensive, putting them in prison. So I mentioned on Tuesday, we also need to attack this from the demand side. We need to have more forceful criminal courts that address addicts and force them to embrace recovery. Now, if you're charged with possession of fentanyl, you're going to get probation. If you go on probation, the odds of you getting revoked are slim. They're not revoking people like they used to anymore. Even if you test positive for drugs while you're on probation, used to be that, you know, you did that once or twice, they brought you back to court and the judge said, "We gave you a chance, now go to prison." That doesn't happen. So, as a consequence, you've got people who could be helped who are not getting helped, and instead they continue to use and they end up dead. So we need to have a system that tells those people, no, you're going to go into this program, and if you test dirty the same day, you're going to jail. Might be for a weekend at first, then a week, then a month, escalating response to their failure to comply until they get religion and they get over this. Because the alternative is, you know, they're going to die, and we're going to have a bunch of other mothers out there who are grieving the loss of their kids. And so we can do better in that department, too. Attacking it from the demand side is just as important as attacking it from the supply side.
Interesting on the demand side. Is that something that you just need to get into the ear of the judge on and say, look, do this because it'll work? Or is this another piece of legislative process you have to go through?
It's going to be legislative, providing the courts with the authority to do that, providing drug court judges with the authority to immediately revoke people and send them to the Department of Corrections when they don't comply. I mean, that's going to be a legislative piece. And also, of course, providing the funding mechanism to put the treatment options in play. You know, it costs money to get people, drug counselors, addiction therapists in there. That's not a freebie. But, you know, the alternative is just sit around and wait for these folks to die.
So this is going to be the second wave. In other words, you guys are going to go at it again to try to change the laws so that the judges have the authority to do this?
Yes.
Are mandated to do it or whatever it is?
We've already begun discussions. I've talked to Speaker Pro Tem Pope. I've mentioned this to some of our local delegation here, Representative Sessions, Guffey, the senators, Wes Clymer and Michael Johnson, all of whom are good, reasonable people that are reliable partners in this fight. And I feel confident next year we can turn out something that will help address this important aspect of it.
And you would think that this would be an easier sell than what you just got through on the supply side.
Sure. Yeah, because the alternative is leave them out of jail until they die, or put them in jail and pay a lot more than treatment costs. So, you know, this isn't a difficult decision. This is the easy button.
You know, you also get back to this whole issue that just permeates the world today called mental health. People just are, for whatever, COVID undid too many people,
yep.
And they're still not thinking the way they need to be thinking, and you wonder whether you could head this off at the pass if we had more mental health counseling. Or I look at the Rock Hill schools. You know, we now have a mental health director, I guess they call it.
Yep.
And they've got these counselors in all of the schools just looking for this kind of stuff that they can help with.
Well, and mental health has also taken a hit in funding over the last 20 years. And so as a result, people don't realize it here in York County, but the largest mental health hospital is Kevin Tolson's detention center. Where, you know, people who are in crisis and the mentally ill, when they act out, people call the police.
Yep.
And they pick them up and they put them in jail, and, you know, and nobody bonds them out. They sit in jail, you know, and really they need treatment. And it's almost like with the addicts, we need to provide treatment, but we also need an enforcement mechanism.
Sure.
We need to make sure they embrace treatment and that they comply with treatment, because people, you know, sometimes they don't want to take their medicine. Then they deteriorate and they're outdoing things they shouldn't be doing, and the police are involved again. It's just this cycle. We see the same people coming through over and over again. So we need to figure out a way to make these folks embrace the treatment that they need and continue to take their medication.
Yeah, it's interesting that if you go down to Columbia, as soon as you get into the city, there used to be a great big mental health facility there right at Bull Street.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Tore down, and it's now whatever, shopping mall.
And I'll tell you a consequence. I know you're probably getting close to break time, but before we end this, I'll tell you a story that I tell anytime I'm in front of a group of people about this beautiful young girl named Carson Weitzel who was killed at the peach stand. You may recall she was shot, and that's an important story, I think, that ties into the mental health issue I think people need to understand. So,
here's a beautiful little 16, 17-year-old girl just sitting there. Not sitting there, she was standing there, you know, working in the store.
That's right.
And a guy just walks in and boom.
Yep, kills her. But the backstory behind that is, I think it's important for the public to understand that, because we're never going to have the change. I've been advocating ever since I learned about the backstory on that. I've been advocating to fix the problem that underlie that senseless murder, and I still haven't had any traction. So you tell me when we have time to tell
it. You go right ahead. I'm going to give you a couple more minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. So this guy who went in there had previously, 6 or 7 months before he went into the peach stand and killed Carson, he had walked into a hospital in Lancaster and told them that he kept having fantasies about shooting people.
Oh, my.
And wanted to kill somebody and maybe kill himself. And so the doctors examined him and said, no, you know, you've come to the right place. It was good for you to come here and tell us. You know that's wrong. They involuntarily admitted him into the hospital. You can't leave. They sent him down to the Lowcountry. He was treated. They set him up for an involuntary commitment in front of a judge to be formally committed. And before that hearing could be held, the medicine took effect, so that when he appeared in front of the judge, he was fine.
He was normal.
So the judge said, I'm not going to commit you. Here's a prescription. Here's the number for the mental health provider, Catawba Mental Health in your area. Go home, take the meds, go see these folks, and everything will be fine. Well, he comes home, and of course he doesn't. And 6 months later, he walks into Cabela's and buys a gun and goes to the peach stand and kills this beautiful girl.
Oh, my. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. So I wondered, how could he buy a gun in Cabela's? Because he'd been committed, right? You're supposed to fill the form out and say, I've never been committed. And they're supposed to have you in the computer if you are. You can't buy a gun. Well, that's only if a judge commits you. Apparently, telling two doctors in an emergency room that you keep fantasizing about shooting somebody isn't enough to get you on that list. I don't know why. It should be. I mean, I think most people walking down the street would agree that's a guy who shouldn't be allowed to buy a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Until he can establish to a, you know, a judge or somebody that he is all good now. Mm. Until then, no gun for you. Well, that's the problem. There's this loophole in there.
Yeah.
Getting involuntarily committed by two doctors isn't the same as a judge. And so he was able to walk in, buy a .45 and drive to the peach stand and kill this child. So,
I never have understood why, when they do the background checks, and I'm all for Second Amendment, why they do they haven't merged all the databases that are out there.
Yeah.
So whoever is selling the gun knows exactly what they're dealing with and who they're dealing with.
Even the most hardcore, ardent Second Amendment supporter doesn't want a homicidal, you know, mentally ill homicidal person to be able to go buy one. Who in their right mind would want this guy to be able to buy a gun? Nobody. But he still can.
Yeah.
That law hasn't changed.
Okay, we'll put that on the list, the to-do list to get done. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that we are listening to Straight Talk. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Of course, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we have fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. in the evening. The knuckleheads are here. I'm not talking about you, listener. These two guys, and they're going to help us at the count of three. Tell everybody how it's done at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, the turkey and ham at Substation 2 seem really popular.
Absolutely. They're all natural meats, no nitrates or added ingredients, 98% fat-free, only the best turkey and ham for salads and subs.
Slice, 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 garden, Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at piedmontmedicalcenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Investing can be like a puzzle. There are so many pieces to consider, and it can be hard to know where to start. But with the right guidance, you can put the pieces together to create a winning strategy. That's where Founders Investment Services comes in. Our team of financial advisors can help you navigate the complexities of investing and create a personalized plan that fits your goals and risk tolerance. We'll work with you to identify the pieces of your puzzle and how they fit into your financial future. Call 866-739-7064 or visit foundersfcuinvestments.com to learn more about how we can help you take the first step towards reaching your financial goals. Securities offered through LPL Financial.
Now, parts of Western York County can enjoy Comporium's advanced internet technology every day. Thanks to the partnership between Comporium and York Electric Cooperative, parts of Western York County now have access to Comporium fiber technology that gives you the ability to stream, download, search, and conference quickly and reliably. Not only is Comporium fiber fast, it's also affordable, starting at just $49.99 per month with no connection fee. For details, go online to comporium.link/YEC to sign up for Comporium high-speed internet today.
Slice, slice, slice! Garden.
It's the only way that Substation 2 makes fresh subs and salads. All their meats, cheeses, and vegetables are sliced fresh right before your eyes. It's no wonder people keep coming back to Substation 2.
Slice, slice, slice! Garden.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, 16th Circuit Solicitor. Jeez, why don't we just call
Seashells by the seashore.
Why don't we just call you a district attorney? I like district attorney better. The DA is here, Kevin Brackett, and we're talking about the good news, which is this very, very tough fentanyl bill, sentencing bill, which has been passed and signed by the governor. You all were down there last week. Was it last week or this week?
It was this week, Tuesday.
This week, then or Tuesday.
That sled.
Final signing ceremony, and it's now in place. So, I guess maybe I've watched too much TV and lawyers and what have you. But is this something that somebody could challenge in court as being harsh and unfair punishment?
Well, people are always going to challenge everything because that's what they do, and that's fine. But realistically, I don't think there's any grounds for it. The bill itself is modeled on the heroin trafficking statute, which has been around for years. So I don't really see that there's any substantial basis for that. It won't succeed if they do.
So now we have this very tough law. Are we doing anything to beat our chest and tell the world that, I mean, outside of this radio program, that
I was about to say I'm on Straight Talk.
That's right, we are worldwide. But I'm just talking about not everybody listens to us.
Well, we had the press conference in Columbia, and it was covered coast to coast. I mean, we saw it in the Post and Courier, and I've seen it in newspapers around the state. Nothing is going to succeed in that department as much as headlines where it shows so-and-so got arrested and charged and convicted and is doing 40 years for trafficking 2 kilos of fentanyl. That's going to be the thing that ultimately, because then they're calling for the next 40 years from prison, their friends going, hey, don't come to South Carolina. That's what we want.
So when you say 25 to 40 years,
yes,
right?
That's the top end, the highest, extreme.
Yeah. What does that mean as far as time served? Because a lot of these sentences are, you get out and whatever.
Yeah, well, under the old one, like I said before, it's 25%.
Yeah.
This is 85%. Ooh. So, a 10-year 85% sentence is 8.5 years. So
bingo.
40 years at 85% is going to be, I never do math in public, but I think it's 34 years of actual time served. Yeah.
And I don't know how stupid people can be, but have they ever been inside of a prison to see what it's like to live in a prison?
No place anybody wants to be. That's for sure.
No.
A lot of loud noise, iron bars, sweat, bad food. Yeah, nothing anybody wants to do.
So I'm just wondering whether Kevin Tolson, who's not here, couldn't join us today. I'm wondering if when the bill was passed, if he maybe had one of the jailers down there to walk up and down the hallway and say, oh, by the way, we just passed this bill. Oh, here's a flyer.
Yeah, well,
you might want to take this with you.
The ceremonial signing was Tuesday. The bill was actually passed in June, and the governor signed it within an hour because it was effective upon signing. So the governor signed it within an hour or two of it coming out of the legislature. So it's been in effect now for a little more than a month. Maybe 5 or 6 weeks. Sure. We've actually charged people already.
Good.
That. We had somebody arrested in the last 2 weeks with 4,000 pills, another person with 1.5 kilos. So they're all going to be feeling the love here.
Did they have any idea what they were facing?
I don't think so. At that point, it's hard to say. I mean, it was publicized pretty heavily in June when it passed. So. But I don't know how much these guys read the paper or watch the news. I doubt many of them are tuning in to us.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Well, look, I know you've got a busy day, and thank you for being here.
It's always a pleasure.
Tell Kevin Tolson we're sorry that he couldn't join us.
I know he hated to miss it. He really did.
We'll get you both back. Keep up the good work. You guys are doing fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to hear.
I appreciate it.
All right. Kevin Brackett, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, who's been here very graciously to tell us all about what has happened with this fentanyl bill. And if you missed it, the bottom line of this thing is we have now one of the toughest fentanyl sentencing bills in the country. 25 to 40 years, and you got to serve 85% of that time? I would suggest anybody who is involved with this might want to think twice, because you don't want to spend 8 days in a prison, let alone 8.5 years. Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right, well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Hope you've enjoyed it this week. We'll be back, of course, next week right here on Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Our program presented, of course, by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. And by the way, don't forget what we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. I got the boys here, and they're just sitting down to get their positions, get in front of the microphones very quickly. Come on now. Are you ready? All right. Let's show everybody how smart you really are. What do we do here at Substation 2 6 days a week? Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad for a bunch of knuckleheads. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio. It's on Monday. Bye.
Carolina's most honored radio station.